Howdy. How are you? Welcome to the Completely Unnecessary Podcast for Tuesday, December 15th, 2020. The weather's getting frightful outside alongside Ian Ferguson. I am packed country. On the show today, Zack Snyder is cool. I'll also be talking about CD Projekt Red apologizing for cyberpunk issues. Tons of Star Wars and MCU stuff in the works. A Watermelon Games Paprium update, which is surprising, and lots more stuff. Ian, how was your weekend? We did a certain NES marathon, right?
We did a certain NES marathon, and it went well. What did we end up raising in total?
We raised, it's still open for you guys to, I don't know when it shuts down technically, on Tiltify, $16,840 to support Feeding America. That's a lot of meals for hungry Americans. Thanks to anyone who participated, who donated, obviously, to the guests for coming out. We had Norm on the phone at one point, and we had Andre. Then we had Andre, Gerard, and Alex on the phone. So it was a good time. So we had a lot of... We had an AVGN cameo. You can rewatch it on my Twitch channel, Country Code. Go back and watch it if you want. No, it was fun.
Thanks to all the sponsors. Thanks to the moderators in the chat room.
Mods.
Yeah, everyone who made it happen came together in 2 weeks, and you all raised a ton of money, which honestly more than I expected for the sort of year we've been having. And even in comparison to the marathon last year, which went just over 24 hours, and we beat last year's amount
by almost
a significant amount. So
it probably, in terms of, this was the shortest marathon we've ever done, but we probably raised the most money per hour than any other marathon. So that's good. Thanks to you all. And Pat won back his pro wrestling title. That was
yep, which we can't find. So if I can't find it, we'll have to replace the belt. Yeah, I have no idea where.
How do you lose a belt? It's like that big.
Vonnie is very good at cleaning and shuffling stuff around, and it probably just got put in the spare bedroom, and I don't know where it is.
Okay, likely story. Yeah. All right.
I mean, I don't need to hold up to the belt that badly.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay. Well, we'll get it at some point. I'll repo it at some point. It was fun. We did our yearly Tecmo Super Bowl Coaches Challenge, was always a fun highlight. More fun than it should seem.
Yeah, that and the Coaches Challenge in Tecmo Super Bowl, and every year that we do Tecmo Cup Soccer.
Yeah, it's always fun.
They're fun.
And then the ice hockey this year was 16-1. So Ian held his own at first. He
did all right.
He did it right for like half the first period. Then the wall broke. The wall came.
Yeah, but the wall broke, and we started talking, and I started caring significantly less. But I've had worse years.
Oh yes, you have. I think you had like, I think it was 20-2 1 year or something like that. Or
I was like 26-something 1 year.
Oh, 26. So it was respectable. If it was 15, if 16 and a half was the line, you beat the line there, Ian, if it was negative 16.
Yeah.
So besides that, the Electoral College voted, which most importantly means Pat gets his payout on predictit.org finally.
Oh, nice.
My money was tied up, and now my money's out. Some of them are not closed yet. Some are not closed. Some are not close. Half my money is back in my pocket where it should be with my gains. But there's still ones open there. What party will win Wisconsin is still open. Give me my money. Give me my money. It's decided. Pay that man his money.
Give me my money.
Thank you. Thank you to if any folks bet against me. Thank you so much for the money. We'll see you again hopefully in 4 years. And this time I'll get the odds even better up front, so I'll make even more money. So I appreciate that. Out there, Game Awards happened, Ian.
They did.
This is probably the first year in 5 years I did not watch 1 second. I try to follow along at some point and complain about, well, there's no awards. But this year, I'm like, I don't care. Fuck this. Plus, I was prepping for the marathon as well, so that's probably why. Because this happened on what, Thursday? Yeah, I was trying to prep and not think about other stuff. So, Was it Thursday?
It was Thursday.
So what did you get out of the Game Awards? What did you like?
I did not intend to pay attention either, but I was at work and it was just in front of my face all day. So I was paying attention to it. I really didn't get anything out of it. I don't want to sound overly negative.
It's an E3 event at this point.
It's an E3 event,
since we have an E3 this year. So
it's as much about announcements as it is the awards. And every time that I get my hopes up that maybe something out of the ordinary will win an award, like Hades was up for many awards, and The Last of Us 2 ended up taking many of the awards, a game that was split down the middle critically when it came out, and also was created under tons and tons of crunch, ended up taking a lot of the awards, and it feels cynical. It's not the people who shout there was money involved or buy-offs. That's not how it is, but it is a case of a bunch of people throwing an award show who don't want to upset the status quo too much. They exist to kind of make each other feel comfortable. A game such as The Last of Us 2 that had to be created under tons and tons of crunch should not get best game direction. It just shouldn't. You're not managing your title.
But it would be the same game potentially with or without the crunch, though.
Actual direction. I'm not even talking about game of the year. I'm talking about the direction and the creation of the game. You should not receive the best game direction.
But is that a qualifier for that, though?
Yes.
When they vote, it is. Crunch is a qualifier for
I would direction? Say if you have to crunch and you're getting an award for best direction, you should not be getting that award.
Okay. I mean, when they give best director to a film, I mean... I'm sure there's crunching on those films.
It's time to change that.
Okay. When I look at direction, that's more the artistic side, not like the production side of it.
Okay. Anyways.
Okay. But that's your argument? Okay. Fair enough.
Other than that, it was nice to see No Man's Sky finally win the continuing game award. Basically, there's an award every year for best continuing game. They usually put things like Fortnite and Apex Legends on there. No Man's Sky was on there last year and they did not win. They did win this year, and it was funny watching him accept the award, because when they were announcing it, you can see when they show the screens of all the potential winners in the background, you can see him grab a beer and take a drink. He was not expecting to win. So when the award was announced, he was genuinely surprised. And it was nice to see. I think all the people who were upset with No Man's Sky when it came out were justified, but I've never seen a developer or a studio go out of their way the way Hello Games has to turn that around and make it right. They didn't just patch it a couple times and say, fuck it, we're moving on to our next game. They've stuck with that game for 4 years.
They saw there's a long tail probably. If we improve the game, more people will buy it. We'll turn around our rep. We can put out a new game maybe down the line.
They already did. They put out a smaller indie game earlier this year, this summer. They had they're a small team. When that game was made, it was 20 people, and I don't think it's much larger than that now.
Yeah, it's for that team of that size for a game like that, it's a big deal. That was at the forefront of the PS4, advertising. So, let's see what else. A roguelike tactical game, Endless Dungeon, coming to consoles and PC. That was announced. There you go. That's interesting. Did Nintendo have any announcement out there? No, they do their own thing. They announced a new Smash character that half people bitched about, of course. What, Sephiroth?
Sephiroth is coming. And honestly, most of the people I saw were very happy about
there's
it.
There's only people bitching about it, which is like, whatever.
There always is. It seemed to be less than normal. I didn't see, the outrage that happened, like when at Terry, suggested it and people didn't know who it was. So it was nice. Yeah, it's another anime sword boy, but that's kind of what Smash revolves around.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's the only thing I get. It's like, it's another guy with hair with the sword. It's like, we have like 12 of those. I get that. How about Perfect Dark? That was kind of cool to see I'm looking at the trailer now.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that they go back to it every once in a while. There was one at the launch of the 360, Perfect Dark Zero.
So it's been a 14 while. Years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, a bunch of stuff that I don't know enough necessarily to comment on, but there was Dead Space spiritual sequel was announced. Left 4 Dead spiritual sequel called Back 4 Blood was announced. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. Trying to see what else. Oh, they showed that Vin Diesel is going to be in the new Ark, the Dinosaur Hunter. In Ark 2. And he's going to be...
He's basically a dinosaur hunter.
Basically
Turok. Vin Diesel is Turok, almost. Super Meat Boy Forever launch date trailer. I didn't know that was even coming out. Evil Dead, the game, looks interesting. I saw the trailer of that. It looks like a co-op killing, they're not zombies or deadites or whatever, but they look like zombies, though. That's what's kind of weird. It's like a zombie thing, but it's a co-op game where Ash is there and you play as another character. And then, of course, just to get under my skin, just to do it.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
Just to do it. Epic announced a limited time bundle for their online shooter Warframe with Unreal Tournament weapon bundle.
Yeah.
So just to tweak you that they realize that franchise still exists, we'll throw three awesome weapons from that game, because the weapons are awesome, into another game and give you that. There you go. Just to do it. Just to do it. And you get a rocket launcher, a flak cannon, and a shock rifle. That's what you get. I have no idea about this game and what you do, but they're going to get you those awesome weapons in the game.
Yeah, I don't know much about Warframe. People seem to say that it's one of the better free-to-play games. But I downloaded it and tried to get into it and immediately was like, this is too much for me.
Too involved?
Too involved.
Were there aliens with armor on?
I guess. I honestly didn't get far enough in to really figure it out. I was like, maybe I don't want to play this. And I just
there's some aliens on Unreal Tournament. A lot of guys with sunglasses looking cool and, you know.
Who doesn't love cool guys?
Basically, the guys from Unreal... went into Gears of War. Like, it's like those are the same guys.
Yes.
Went into Gears of War. That's basically the similar sort of like look to them. And gals. There's gals in Unreal as well. That's one of the cool things about Unreal. Not to spin off Unreal. It's one of the earlier games like that where you customize your character. You know, first person shooter in the late 90s. It was very interesting to do that. You know, then you can download skins and fiddle around and do stuff. Anyway, so that was a Game Awards. But we got also a real reveal of Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. Oh boy, this looks pretty good. This was kind of surprising. This is coming out in was it February? February. So I always like to get these trailers like only 2 months before the game comes out, because it's like, oh shit, we probably know it's definitely coming out, and it's not a long wait. That's the way to do it. You keep it close to the vest.
Keep the cards close to your heart.
Keep them right there. So, what did you think about this trailer here?
I'm interested in playing it, but I have to be honest with you, I'm not a fan of the art style.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm not. You know why I like it? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of sort of like pop-up book art that's old.
I can see that. It's weird. When I look at it, I'm right on the borderline of liking it, but there's just something about the way it moves that throws it all off for me. It's close. It's very close to something that I'd like, but yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't look like the generic 3D regular shitty graphics on half these games. It's a little bit different than that. You know what I mean? It's a little bit more refined than that, a little more stylized.
Yeah.
At least to me.
They tried something new. It doesn't quite hit the mark for me, but okay. I will still play the game. I'll still give it a shot.
Like when you look at the anime, like look at the big characters, it almost looks like it's hand-drawn graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Like they hand-draw some of this stuff in. Because I have a pop-up book that's like sort of gothic themed. I went back and found it online because I remember it horrifying me as a child and I bought it. I don't know if I ever showed you that. And it kind of has like a gothic almost tinge to the style here. So, I'm not the biggest fan of the franchise because of the difficulty, but I appreciate the style and the theme of it. And so, yeah, this is a game. What do you think it's probably cost? Like $15 for this? $20?
$15 to $20.
Yeah, I think it's. I'm more bullish than Ian on that, surprisingly.
But I do think is interesting is they did announce a Capcom Arcade Collection. I can't remember exactly
what it's
called. Yeah, it's,
I think Game Awards announced it?
Yes. Or they announced it online in tandem with the announcement of this on the Game Awards. So it will come with, I believe it's 1943 for free. And then they're going to be doing a bunch of different download packages that cover various eras. I don't have it directly in front of me, but I think it's like 82 to 88, 88 to like 91, and then like 91 to 2000 or something like that.
So you'll pay like $10 per pack or whatever. Something like that.
Something like that. I'm always into the arcade game package collections, especially if it's ported well. I don't know who's porting this, but of course everyone's already asking, you know, hoping that M2 is doing the porting. I believe that comes out in February, and I'm looking forward to that.
You can buy last-minute Christmas presents at ultimatenintendo.com. It's the 15th. I would highly recommend
order them like now.
Like order right, them the, right, the right as you're hearing the podcast on your iPod. If you still have a first gen iPod from like 2000, order right now because the warehouse gets backed up, and then the shipping media email depending where you are can take up to like 5 days. Things slow down. Get your order in at ultimatenintendo.com. Also, you got enamel pins. You got the RBI baseball stickers. I sold some here. We've sold a lot of t-shirts. The My Man t-shirt is on sale for $14.99, and we've sold a bunch of those. A lot of mediums left. Not a lot of medium My Man wearers right now, so get your medium My Man shirts. But yeah, ultimatenintendo.com. Get in your book order, like My today. Medium, get it today, and you'll have a good chance to get it before Christmas. If you order it by Friday, I'm hoping you're in the Midwest, closer to the warehouse, to get it in like a couple of days. You know,
how do you send your packages?
Have I sent them?
Yeah, how do you send them?
Oh, those just go the first class, but the books go from the warehouse, media mail.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, I mean, for all the shit people give the USPS, they're usually pretty good around Christmas. I mean,
yeah,
you give them
slight delays.
You give them 3 days, and I mean, they know that everyone's waiting until the last minute. I have embarrassingly sent out Christmas packages with like 3 days to go, and people have gotten them. But I would not recommend doing that. So
no, because
yes.
You see that people rush even a week before. The weird thing, I guess the good thing this year is that Christmas is on a Friday. So this weekend's the last chance for everyone to sit down and buy presents. That's 5 days before. There's a shot that you can get it shipped there by Thursday, but it's not guaranteed you'll get there by Thursday.
Right.
Because they don't deliver mail on Christmas. So you basically want your stuff in the mail by like Friday, like a full 7 days before to have a chance. Even for first class, depending on where you are. But ultimatenintendo.com. There you go. Go for it. We want to skip about the Scottish parents thing?
Yeah, we're going to
I mean, you're Scottish, but we'll skip it.
Bye, Scottish parents. Okay. Zack Snyder is in the news again.
He's always cool.
For being a really cool dude. Look, I don't have the energy to rail on this for much longer than just this point anymore. But Zack Snyder, I was talking, I believe, yesterday or the day before. It was on the internet yesterday about how his new 4-hour cut, highly anticipated, according to EW, is going to be likely get receiving an R rating. And
for a theatrical release, it said. Might get a theatrical release.
Yeah, here's one piece of information nobody knows. He says, the movie is insane and so epic and is probably rated R. That's one thing I think will happen, that it will be an R-rated version for sure. There's one scene where Batman drops an F-bomb. Cyborg is not too happy with what's going on with his life before he meets the Justice League, and he tends to speak his mind. And Steppenwolf is pretty much just hacking people in half. So the rating would be due to violence and profanity. Probably both. Fuck yeah, dude! I can't, like, wow! What is there more to say? You can't satirize the man. He is the embodiment of a 14-year-old who wants attention.
Yes, it's all,
giving it to him.
When he talks about superhero stuff, it's always about, oh, it's cool because Batman just beat up this guy. Really, it's never about like the underlying themes of the superheroes or why people are into the superhero, like why people enjoy Superman for what it represents. You know, what does Wonder Woman represent? You know, like, it's never that. It's always like, yeah, someone gets their ass kicked. It's like, that's part of the superhero experience. That's not what draws you in directly to the superhero experience in general.
Zack Snyder is the type of person who looks at Judge Dredd and at face value goes, yeah, that's a cool dude, instead of realizing that it's satire.
Yeah, Spider-Man beats up bank robbers all the time. That's not necessarily why I bought the comics as a kid, to see him beat up bank robbers. That's not like, that's like 8% of the experience. That's not most of it. You know what I mean? It's insane. It's just like when, who's seen Steppenwolf is hacking people in half, going, yeah, that's what I want to see. Yeah,
there are people out there. There are lots of them. Unfortunately. Yeah. Woo!
Off the chain, yo. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Steppenwolf looks like he's covered in staples.
And Batman dropping the F-bomb is just... Has he ever cursed Batman? Like, I mean, like...
I don't know, and I don't...
He's usually prim and proper, and, like, he's usually, like, self... You know, he never lets himself get that angry, you know?
I'm absolutely nuts. Certain Batman has stubbed his toe and gone, fuck, before, but I don't... The thing is, I don't really care if Batman swears. I could conceivably see Batman swearing. It's the bragging about Batman swearing in your movie.
Yeah, that's
it's not like he's breaking some...
Card.
He's not breaking some, like... code to me that I think is what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. You can't touch it, but it's the bragging. It's the bragging about the swearing.
So in a tipsy-topsy sort of where we're crazy, he had an actual, like, kind of better thought-out reaction than Christopher Nolan to the controversy about putting these streaming on HBO Max, which is, like, shocking, but that's the world we're in right now.
Nolan's response is absolutely just ridiculous.
And I saw him say, well, you know, the actors are supposed to get a cut of the theatrical, and I'm like, I get that, but they got it. The studio's got to make their money back or they're fucked. Like, that's
if
what
you don't
out
put
there.
Out these movies, then the right. movies stop, and there's no more
there's,
movies
then
for
there's
them
no more
to
new
be
movies.
In.
Then we right. can't make new movies. So it's like...
You can cry and stomp your feet, and I kind of get the disappointment, but there's nothing else that anyone can do at this point.
So Snyder, to his credit, actually had a more nuanced reaction than Nolan did when it came to this. But also probably because, well, he's getting tons of money from... You know, HBO to finish this.
Right.
That, you know, that helps
right. He's getting a lot of money from HBO Max to do this.
Yeah. So I thought we were kind of getting real close to the ideal theatrical window where you still had marketing material out there and you hadn't forgotten about the film by the time it came out on DVD or streaming. I thought we were starting to hone in on that sweet spot, but this kind of throws a monkey wrench in the works. Well, we got to get the vaccine. We got to get people. We got to get safe again.
Yeah. I mean,
like I said, in other parts of the world are doing better. So theatrical release in other parts of the world haven't been totally locked down like here.
So. I think China's back to theatrical releases.
Other parts of the world, we have 4% of the world's cases, 20% of the deaths in the world. So we are doing horribly at this. It's not lining up.
I had said something about Zack Snyder online when this came out last night, and someone responded to me, and they're like, "Yeah, Zack seems weird, but you know, Joss Whedon's no better." And I'm saying that, and I'm thinking, and it's like, Joss Whedon is no good, Zack Snyder is no good, Christopher Nolan no good. You know what the nice thing is? These people aren't running for an elected office. I don't have to pick one of them to like. I can just not like all three of them. It doesn't always have to be a competition.
Zack Snyder might be a fine person to get a sandwich with, maybe talk about, but I don't want him directing my superhero movies.
Sure.
That's the thing.
Sure.
I just don't.
I'd love to hear... Well, maybe not. I'd love to hear his ideas for, like, a Powerpuff Girls or a Dexter's Lab reboot, but I probably wouldn't want to hear that.
Will it into existence, Zack Snyder.
You know, over a cup of coffee and a sandwich, but I don't want to see it come to fruition.
Powerpuff Girls breaking people's jaws and faces exploding when they punch them. That's his version of it. So anyway, I thought it was interesting that he actually had a more reasonable response to it, where it's like, yeah, it sucks. We thought we were getting somewhere. He said it was kind of a knee-jerk reaction, but...
You can't be the worst person all the time.
No. And like I said, it's only when it comes to this... He's like in Arrested Development as a 15-year-old comic book fan when it comes to that stuff.
Sure.
Unfortunately, most 15-year-olds shouldn't be... getting hundreds of millions of dollars to direct these big tentpole pictures. That's the problem.
Someone else put it as, never before has someone failed upwards so much that they're now flying, which is basically the truth.
Well, I don't know if he failed upwards. Like, the Dawn of the Dead movie he did very well. I think that's what shot him up. And I saw that and enjoyed that Dawn of the Dead. Like, I did. But Watchmen was not it. And obviously 300. 300 was a huge success.
I forget that 300 was a huge success. I did not like it, but yes, it was a success. I can't take that away from him.
Honestly, that's his peak. Like,
yes.
That's what he should be doing, that movie.
Yeah, because I think it was like Dawn of the Dead, 300, then Sucker Punch, then...
Watchmen was 2009.
Okay.
So if there was something between 300 and...
God, that long ago?
That's why I moved out here, partially. I mean, I came to Comic-Con, so... So that's why I thank Zack Snyder for that, for getting me out to California before I saw that trailer. I was like, yeah, it looks interesting, but that's not my Watchmen. But Anyway, Zack Snyder is cool.
Thanks, Zacky Snacky.
Okay, SNK had a this is breaking
update.
I need a breaking more than an update there. SNK Global tweeted, a brand new console is coming from SNK in 2021, a system to bridge the needs between passionate fans and console gaming enthusiasts. And then they had, who is the best player, with a little Wi-Fi symbol?
Yeah.
And Neo Geo is there. So my first thought is, this can't be just a Neo Geo little all-in-one console, because then that's not fair. That's not a new console. It has nothing to do with gaming, like console gaming enthusiasts. It has to be something different.
Well, they considered the Neo Geo X to be a new console. I mean, so I don't think that SNK is going to come out and I don't think this is going to be a brand new console with, you know, that they're courting developers to make brand new games for. I think this is likely going to be
a system to bridge the needs between passionate fans.
Advertising speak means nothing.
And console gaming enthusiasts with a Wi-Fi symbol.
My guess is
not going to be their version of Stadia, because that to me is not a system. That's a platform. It's not a console.
My guess is that it's going to be a collection of fighting games with online multiplayer. That's my guess.
Okay, I definitely online multiplayer.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's my guess, that's what it's going to be. They have, you know, they've been releasing versions of a lot of their popular games with online play included on Steam and on consoles. Garo: Mark of the Wolves. I think there was a Samurai Showdown 5. They released a version of King of Fighters 97 with online play. They did the Ultimate Match of 98 in 2002. So they have a lot of these one-off games that they've released with online capability built in.
They'll put them in a box then with some Wi-Fi or the internet.
My guess is that we're going to... Yeah, exactly. We'll get it in a plug-and-play box with Wi-Fi.
They'll program leaderboards or whatever. And
precisely. Leaderboards and...
Track your stats. Okay, but that's a decent product.
That is something I think... That has more appeal to me than just the mini consoles. Because I would actually get a chance to play the games the way the majority of them are meant to be played, which is with someone else.
It doesn't have to be super expensive, because it's just going to be an emulator box
thrown
in a better shell. It could be $100 or so at most for all these games that give you a controller. And then maybe they give you a cool, you know, like an old school Neo Geo controller.
I'm thinking, you know, they'll probably either pack in one of those CD pads or they'll pack in one of the sticks.
All right. But this could fulfill a little need. That's not there, you're saying. Like, that's the whole point about your console. Don't try to find a niche or need, you fill the hole of something that exists. Like, hey, people want to play all the, you know, these SNK fighters multiplayer in a nice way.
And I don't think it's, I mean, yes, maybe you can already do that. There's no need for this, but I think if you put them all in one place,
sure,
and you charge a reasonable amount for it, you're going to get people who buy it again just to have the
one
package.
Ecosystem.
Plus a Neo Geo collector is going to find that interesting.
Some crazy Neo Geo collector will want, like, oh, this is the new Neo Geo console, even though it's not really a new console.
Whereas I passed on the Mini. I would not pass on this if it's something remotely close to what we just described.
Okay, well, that's interesting. And then finally, and a sad note, Pornhub was big news. In the big news, they got rid of, like, all of their non-verified videos on Pornhub, which was, like, most of them. So, like, I guess they have a system where it's like YouTube, where you get verified, like, you're the person uploading the videos you create. So if you just upload random videos, that's all gone on Pornhub now, which is, like, people were saying, crying, oh, my playlist is gone, all my stuff, because that's how Pornhub existed, by people uploading, like, YouTube or uploading random shit. Then it got into, wow, now porn stars are using it in companies. So, on a funnier note, I had a video on Pornhub. Before you go nuts, someone took all the dominatrix parts from my old Alicia Dragoon video from 2011 and just put up, like, her, like, 4 minutes of screen time and just put it up on a video on Pornhub. So that's gone, unfortunately. And I tweeted that out yesterday, and I thought that was funny. What was more important, though, is that they didn't take the uncensored version from the DVD. Now I'm advertising that. You can buy the DVD with the uncensored one. They took the blurry YouTube one where you don't see the boobies. So So if you want that, you can go to oldnintendo.com and buy Pat the NES Punk Volume 3, and you can get that uncensored Alicia Dragoon version. I just thought that was funny. That's all. Did you have a video on Pornhub and a secret video that's now gone? No. Did you know anyone had a secret video on Pornhub that's now gone? That's gone? I knew one person that had videos on Pornhub. Not to your knowledge. Okay. Well, there you go. For anyone out there that's saddened about that, there's always other alternative sites. All right, that's it for the intro. We're done.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, Ian, CD Projekt Red recently apologized since their launch of Cyberpunk 2077. Has been, we'll just call it a little bit bumpy.
Yeah, definitely bumpy, and that's kind of what I was alluding to last week. So if you're playing it on a PC, apparently, you know, people...
Master Race PC.
People... I hate that. If you're playing it on PC, apparently you're having about as good of a time as you can. If you... there are people who think the story sucks, there are people who think that certain things are generic, but it's playing... At least how it...
It's nice. It looks great, smooth.
It looks nicely. It plays the way it should. And then, you know, all the other... You know, the review at that point comes down to what you feel about the story, the mechanics, and things like that. But at least those people are able to play it. Apparently, though, anyone playing it on a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One is having a much less than stellar time.
Especially the base console.
Especially the base units. And people are saying that it's full of bugs, crashes, hard crashes. I've seen lots of pictures where it looks like the models never fully kind of like load into the game. They look like PlayStation 3 quality graphics.
Really? So it's like it's getting them in kind of gradually.
Yeah,
like an old JPEG in the 90s loading up layer by layer.
It does look very, very poor. So few things that I really want to touch on here. There's a lot of things to say, but first we'll start with CDPR's apology on their now notorious yellow background that no one ever wants to see.
Yeah, don't go black on yellow background. That's hard to read.
Dear gamers, first of all, we would like to start by apologizing to you for not showing the game on base last-gen consoles before it premiered, and in consequence, not allowing you to make a more informed decision about your purchase. We should have paid more attention to making it play better on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This is the real crux, and everything after it means nothing to me, really.
So I guess that they were not allowing reviews of the PS4 and regular Xbox One.
They were not showing it on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. They were not allowing reviews of it on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. And a lot of people think now that this has come out...
That's why.
This is why... But this is also why people... They didn't want people streaming it if you got the game early.
Oh, is that why?
Because a lot of people were playing it on these base systems... And it had nothing to do with the story. People can easily be like, oh, I don't want spoilers, thanks. I cannot watch this stream.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the cover for... No, we don't want people seeing that. It basically doesn't run.
We don't want people streaming it to, you know, 1,000 people and being like, wow, why isn't this broken, this game?
So they go on to say this middle part, I'm not going to read verbatim, but the middle part basically details how there is a number of patches coming. There's going to be a large patch in January, another large patch in February. Mm-hmm. It won't make the game... They say it won't make the game on last gen look like it's running on a high spec PC or next gen console, but it will be closer to that experience than it is now. Then they go on to say, this I'll read word for word. Finally, we would always like everyone who buys our games to be satisfied with their purchase. We would appreciate it if you would give us a chance, but if you are not pleased with the game on your console and don't want to wait for updates, you can opt to refund your copy. For copies purchased digitally, please use the refund system of PSN or Xbox, respectively. For boxed versions, please first try to get a refund at the store where you bought the game.
Yeah.
Should this not be possible, please contact us and we will do our best to help you. Starting from today, you can contact us for a week up until December 21st. So the reason I wanted to bring that up is, before we even get into the loads of problems here, there was an update this morning on
update
Kotaku about an hour ago.
Oh, I didn't see that. Is that okay?
CD Projekt Red managers clarified that refunds for Cyberpunk 2077 will be subject to existing retailer policies.
Well, sure. They can't tell Walmart what to do.
No, they can't. During a call with investors yesterday, and said the company is not encouraging anyone to return the game. Right, and I think anyone smart would realize that, but in that very apology, they made it sound like there was some sort of special thing going on to get refunds. They did. They made it sound like we're working something out. Go refund your game. And apparently, they're saying that to cover their ass. They know that they need the money, and apparently the investors were not particularly pleased with them telling people to go get refunds.
I would say, hey, give money back. If I've been waiting for this game to come out, get my money back for 7 years on it.
So, I mean,
they're in a tough spot, though, because obviously this game has been delayed a long time. It's been we talked about yesterday on the phone. The first trailer we saw was like 4 years ago for this game.
It was announced in 2012. I don't remember seeing anything on it until we got that trailer in 2016.
Sure. And now it comes out, and obviously it sold a lot. I think they already read that they turned a profit, it seemed like, in the first day or so. So it's selling well, obviously, because all the hype. But now you have a portion of the people. If you want to go percentages, I'd say half the
41,
people.
I think. I read it somewhere that 41% of the people playing it are playing it on last gen hardware.
Not just the base, but they include the PS4 Pro.
I think that's including the PS4 Pro and Xbox One X.
Which, from what I read, was a little bit better, but still not great.
Yes.
Because obviously those are a little more horsepower, but it's still not great. So you have 40% potentially pissed in some form or another that got this game. And that includes the day zero patch, whatever. I think I saw Josh from Limited Run say it was like 50 gigs or whatever, something ridiculous.
Right.
So it's like you have this patch probably to get the game playable, because we can't fit it all in the disc potentially, or we have updates after it went gold. That doesn't help it function as a game, though, for a lot of people still. And a game that they developed on last gen hardware for the last gen. That's what the weird thing is. That
well, started. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you start something in 2013.
Right.
That's for the PS4 and the Xbox One. So how does it not function? Like, what happened in the development process where we can't have it even function properly?
Yeah, I have a few points. I mean, one, so the first part of that apology, the not showing it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, that's a little bit different than a game not living up to expectations. That's
not showing a game that's broke, basically.
That's outright deception.
Yeah.
That's outright deception.
Sure.
You did that because you knew that people would cancel their pre-orders and you would not make the money. There's no excuse for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's absolute bullshit. I mean, that is really bad.
They knew it was going to be bad. It's just like we have to make the money.
And because I have to be honest, don't go out there and harass them. But I don't feel bad for the situation they're in right now in terms of this situation where with the refunds. You should have been more forthcoming. You had to know that this was going to end very, very poorly.
Oh, yeah. If you put out... Yes. I'm not saying this would excuse it. But if you put out something saying, hey, if you're running a regular Xbox or PS4, you're going to have issues for a while. Just to give you a heads up, we wanted to get this out before Christmas. We didn't want this to launch on the next gen before the previous gen. That'd be weird to do that. You're going to have issues. I'm not saying that would have been great. That would have been better than waiting for the issues to come out and then saying, oh, try to get a refund. They should have given you a heads up. This is not where we want it to be. But we didn't want to delay and disappoint you. A little PR goes a long way. We always come back to that. A little transparency. You don't let it get to this point where I see people reviewing it and being like, wow, it's barely playable on a base PS4. So why you can't get it? Because then obviously if they had reviewed this, this is where we're at right now. This is the weird point we're at now. And this is going to be the first time where we're going to see a point where a console game comes out and the console that it's supposed to be supported on, it does not support it. it's not good enough to support it. So we're at the point, we were talking about where these consoles are now PCs. They're definitely PCs now, because you can buy a high-end game and run it on an old PC. It'll run, it'll just run like shit. And that's where we're at with consoles, unfortunately. And consoles is supposed to always be, you're protected from that. You don't have to worry. If it says it runs on a PS4, it runs on a PS4, and I don't have to worry about any bullshit. That's gone now. We have crossed the Rubicon. It's done.
That was going to be one of my later points, but I'll bring it up now, is there are a lot of people out there, people who, for not receiving any money to defend CD Projekt Red, have certainly made it their job. And I don't understand fanboying to that degree. However, I've seen plenty of people on Twitter, in the comment section, people talking about how it's not working on their PS4. And they're like, well, what did you expect? You're running it on a base model PS4. And my response to that is, for a number of reasons, I would expect it to run, because that's why you buy into a console infrastructure.
It's released on the PS4.
Right.
It says PS4 on it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You would expect it to run. This is not a piece... consoles, up until this point, and obviously we've seen this going away, but this has always been my argument for consoles, is that the benefit of a console is you may get reduced graphics. The graphics may not be the best. You may not have ray tracing. It may not look like it looks on a high-end PC at, you know, maximum levels for everything. But you are going to be able to buy it, drop it into your system, and it runs. My other point is, and you already kind of brought this up, this game was originally supposed to be out in April. April. It was delayed twice after that. But it was supposed to be out in April, and obviously there were things that needed to be done, but how much of that delay was, shit, we cannot release this and not have...
It would have been worse.
Yeah, we can't release this and not have next-generation systems out there, because otherwise it's going to look like the PC game cannot find, and our entire console launch is going to be...
Garbage.
Disastrous.
Yes.
Because it's been delayed to... And that's what's so frustrating. Now that it was delayed to the point that the new consoles are out, now you have all of these defenders being like, well, you shouldn't be playing it on the last gen hardware. Well, if this had come out when it was supposed to have come out,
that would have been the only
option. That or PC.
Yeah. No, and you look at it, well, if it's barely functional now, what was it back in April? It probably was broken. And
right.
they needed six extra months in order to get it to this point. So this was the alternative, I guess. I guess you could have just delayed the last gen and be like, we can't put out the Xbox One and the PS4. That would have pissed off people as well. But maybe that would have been better. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just delay it for, what is this? This patch is coming out next year, so delay it for a couple more months. Or 6 weeks at least. Because I don't remember a case where this happened, where a game of this stature comes out and it's like, it's almost broken on a console.
So this opens up a lot of other avenues for discussion. And one of them is... you know, people were talking about how this is the fans' fault for, you know, demanding, you know, flipping out every time that CDPR has a delay, and then, you know, CDPR finally releases it, and now fans are flipping out. To the people who flipped out over a delay, I think those people definitely need to calm down. I'm happy with a company delaying a game until they think it's ready to release.
Sure.
But you can't just blame the consumer base for this. You have to have some responsibility placed upon CDPR and the team. And what that comes down, you know, and people's response to that is always, well, they were making a big, ambitious game. And after looking at games like this come out and have issues like this, maybe not every game needs to be a big open world adventure. When we see stuff like this happen, or like Assassin's Creed launches where there's tons of bugs, I don't want to sound negative, too negative here, but maybe we need to rein it in a little bit. Maybe we need to take some of these pie-in-the-sky ideas and actually work within the limitations that we have.
Mm.
If you don't have a team that can put this game out like that, then don't make this game. Make a smaller game. Make a different game.
Yeah, but, I mean, God, they even said this. They have an investor call, so they have people pumping tons of money into this because they want
to be GTA. No, what I'm saying is we shouldn't even get to this point.
Hey, it's a business, right? So we have this great idea. We want this to be, you know, basically the futuristic GTA. We'll just say that's what basically they want it to be. They want to make tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and they take a gamble. And it's several years, and a lot of people's, you know, lives change doing that. I get that. You want to put out your dream project, so I'm not poo-pooing that. But obviously, this was, you know, this was not obviously handled well, because we do not see stuff like this with this many issues with rock star stuff to this extent.
And people, I'm not saying don't chase your dreams. I'm saying don't hype yourself to the moon and don't bite off more than you can chew.
Well, that's like a lot of art, though. People go nuts, whether it's movies or TVs, and they can't do it. I mean, if they get this patched up, then obviously it'd be all right. But it's going to be months after people bought this, and unfortunately, people can't find PS5s and Xbox Series S or X. I hear it runs all right on the S, but obviously you need the X for the full experience. If people can't find that, they want to play now. Plus, not everyone has $500 to drop on a new console, or $1,000 for scalp. What if I just bought a PS4 a year ago? I don't have the money to necessarily buy the PS5. So you have to, if it's going to come out in all the consoles, it better support it, especially since there's a lot more people. There's a lot more people that have a PS4 than a PS5, obviously. So it just makes sense, business sense, that you want it working on the console where the most people are buying it as well, from that perspective. So maybe they should have delayed it. So you know what? I know we delayed it 3 times. We're going to delay. This goes back to everything. How about we stop giving a new date and just say we're going to delay it and we'll just let you know when it's coming out? How about we just do that for this stuff? Don't set firm dates that you keep rolling over again.
Nintendo did it with Metroid 4.
Yes, there's like, we don't know what's going to come
They're
out.
Like, we fucked up. Woo, all right.
So now when Nintendo, that's the last time you'll ever see a Nintendo in development probably trailer ever again.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be, hey, Super Mario Odyssey, here's the trailer. It comes out in like a month and a half or 2 months because it's done. That's how these companies should handle that.
I think the longest lead time I've seen on a game for the Switch from Nintendo was Fire Emblem Three Houses. I think they announced like 6 months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And obviously the sequel to Breath of the Wild they announced like last year, and that's going to be another little while. But for the most part, they've been doing very short lead times between announcement and release. And obviously they're announcing these things when, you know, I'd say the game is just about probably ready to go gold.
Yeah, because that Metroid Prime embarrassment, that was 3 years ago when they announced it already.
Right.
3 years ago, and we still don't know when that game's coming out. But you will not hear about it again, I guarantee you, until it's ready. Because Nintendo, that was an embarrassment to Nintendo, from to say we had to throw out an entire game development that we have and start all over from scratch after we said it was in development.
But one last thing I'll say about this that I think is interesting, and I mean, obviously, I have no faith really in Stadia, but there are a lot of reports out there that Stadia is currently the best way to play.
The best?
Cyberpunk.
The best. Better.
A very reasonable way to play Cyberpunk if you don't want to spend, it should be obvious, the asterisk, if you don't want to go spend a ton of money on a high-end computer.
If I want to play it myself and not have a high-end computer or console, I can just buy it on Stadia for $60.
Yeah, and I mean, I still have no real interest in Stadia, but apparently if you have a decent Stadia connection, you are going to get graphics that are similar to a PC setup and without the bugs and problems of the console experience.
So they're running, obviously, a PC version or whatever on their servers, and they're streaming it to you. So that makes sense.
So that's interesting.
If you have a good connection, like for me, I have a fiber optic. I'd have to play through Wi-Fi on my TV. You know, maybe I'd give it a try. Maybe if there's a way to demo it, maybe I'd give it a try. Say, okay, this is good enough for me to do it if I have a fast enough connection. There you go. That's the first positive Stadia news besides Pac-Man, the new Pac-Man game that we'd have in quite a bit. So, all right. Anything else to add here? Again, we've crossed the Rubicon. I'll say that again. Now we're in uncharted territory with these new releases. Because now you have, for the PS4, you know, you have, what, 3 different consoles to worry about? You got the PS4, PS4 Pro, PS5 releases. For the Xbox, you have, what, 3 or 4 different versions with the same games going to come out in 3 or 4 different consoles. But it's going to be a different playing experience to all, and not everyone, to those people saying, well, what did you expect? Many people are casual. They're not following all the differences between this shit. They're not on Twitter. They're not following the releases. They want to buy their kid, hey, mom, get me Cyberpunk for my PS4. Okay, Johnny, I'm going to buy it. Now the kid's crying because the game's shit. That's not on the parent. That's on the people making the product.
I mean, it's an M-rated game. I don't know that any kids are really crying about it.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. If they're crying about it, they should.
Imagine you for Christmas, you wanted a game. You don't think a kid's asking for Cyberpunk for Christmas? A 15-year-old?
Dude, I'm joking around.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, though, like, imagine getting the game and you can't play it.
Yes.
And now mom and dad are like, I don't know. It said it was for the system. You're going to have to deal with that in some probably form fashion in the future for these used versions. Well, it's not going to be able to play on the...
But
on
luckily, we're not selling it new, so, I mean, it'll just be a, you have a three-day exchange.
But think about the nightmare in the future where stuff is still physical in some form. And okay. Oh yeah, we got Cyberpunk for the PS4, but you can't really play it in that version of the PS4. Make sure you get the PS4 Pro to play it. But really, it's going to be bad.
Sure.
This portion of the CU podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Men, 2020 was a pretty rough year for a bunch of us. Hopefully, it wasn't that rough on your balls. But if it was, 2021 is the chance to make it just a little bit better with Manscaped. Manscaped. They keep your balls fresh. It's the best in below-the-waist grooming, offering precision engineered tools for your family jewels and helping 2 million men all over the world get rid of unwanted hair.
2020 has been a nightmare, and with everything going on, maybe some personal grooming has fallen by the wayside. But have no fear. Manscaped is here to give you a fresh start in 2021 with their Perfect Package 3.0. It's got all the right tools for the job. Come out of quarantine feeling fresh and trim thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe trimmer will reduce nicks to even your most tender areas. The third-generation trimmer even has a light to give you the glow-up you need in 2021. It's also time to freshen up down there this year. Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. And for on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Toner Spray. Manscaped is even throwing in their Shed Travel Bag so you can keep all your goodies stored comfortably.
All right, here's your new year offer, everyone. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CUPODCAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use code CUPODCAST. Happy New Year to your balls. All right, Ian loves this, the Disney investor call, which basically acted kind of partly as their own sort of D3 sort of like entertainment events, since they don't have them anymore. It probably would have been their entertainment event this year.
Yes.
Where they announce all their new Disney, Pixar, MCU projects, and Star Wars stuff for the most part. So they did this. I guess it's technically a call, but if you're an investor, you can watch it. And to be an investor just means, hey, I have stock in Disney. You're technically an investor at that point. So the call was, when was this? This was was it Friday? A lot of things happened last Thursday and Friday, right? It was the same day as the Game Awards, I think.
Yeah, it was.
So they announced, a ton of stuff. First of all, there's going to be a slight dollar hike to Disney Plus. They're going to raise it $1. So it's like, it's still the cheapest thing, but, it's kind of early to raise. But then again, Netflix now is raising the price every other year. Netflix used to be like, what is it, $8.99, and now it's up to like $12. Or something.
I think it just hit $13.99 because I had to okay it the other day.
Oh, you did?
TV.
So, yeah. Like Netflix in the past 10 years has gone up like 50% almost. Lots of stuff. Pixar is making a Cars show. That's kind of weird. There was a lot of memes about they're doing a Buzz Lightyear sci-fi film. So they're going to figure out a way where the toy is based upon, I guess, a real person.
And they're doing a prequel movie based on that person.
And it's going to be Chris Evans, I read. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yes, because...
What?
Tim Allen is the voice of Buzz the Toy, but...
not the character.
Yeah.
So, this is where we're starting to, I think, overthink entertainment a bit, where people love the Toys franchise. They love it. They'll probably be
Toy Story?
Excuse me.
Toys is a different...
No, Toys is Robin Williams,
Toys
right?
was a strange yeah. Robin Williams movie, yeah.
People love Toy Story. There might be a fifth film at some point. Because each time they say, this is the last one, we're going to do another one, and people love it and cry at the end of it. So, but to do a concept like this where you have to explain to people, well, it's Toy Story, but it's the guy that they're basing the... I'm out at that point. So it's going to be in theaters.
No, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd.
And they're using the Blade Runner font, by the way, which I think is on it when you click on it. I just think it's funny. There's a line through the top of it. Blasting the theaters June 17, 2022. Voiced by Chris Evans. So I'm guessing this will be animated then. Okay, my head's blowing up for it. It's stupid. It could be a good movie. It's a stupid idea, though, for a movie.
It's going to be dumb. We don't need this much lore.
No.
And I, before...
Overlord.
This was going to be something that I mentioned later when we went over the Star Wars stuff, but they're doing a prequel show called... they're doing a show called Andor that is a prequel show to Rogue One, which was a prequel to...
Based upon the spy that was in Rogue One, the male spy that was in Rogue One, which is a good movie.
And a cool character. No, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure that one is. It's the one I wanted to see, and I heard it was good. But to me, it kind of... At that point, prequels feel like lazy content to me after a certain point, because you no longer have to think of anything new. You don't have to think of any new ideas to take a story. You simply look at what exists and go, how can we fudge a backstory in there? And it's much, much easier writing.
And you already have the characters.
Right. And people eat it up. And I cannot stand it.
Okay, let's go down the list. The animated What If actually sounds pretty cool.
Yes, that does.
That's a cool idea. When I saw, like, what if Peggy Carter got the super soldier serum, became like a sort of like a Captain Britain sort of thing. Of course, the one that I told Frank about, this is why Frank has to stay around for a few more years, we're getting the Fantastic Four MCU film.
Yep.
So I cannot tell you if there's only one more MCU. Let's just say I'm not totally burnt out on MCU films right now, but I think I'm past the point where I got to see every single one in the theater anymore. That's not happening anymore.
I'm burnt out.
I was done by that by the time I got to like Captain Marvel, where I was like an Ant-Man 2. I'm like, I don't need to see all these in the theater anymore. These are more like I'll wait for them to come out or watch them, you know, in a couple of months and pay a few bucks for them even. So they're bringing Fantastic Four in. It's going to be John Watts who's directing the Spider-Man movies. So I'm happy because Spider-Man tone is semi close to Fantastic Four. It's in the ballpark of the humor and lighter, not cutting people in half like Zack Snyder. Like there's not that in Fantastic Four. It's more, you know, it's lighter action. We'll just say it's not overly violent. It's closer, like I always said, like Guardians of the Galaxy is Fantastic Four for the most part. It's that tone, that humor, that sort of action.
Sure.
So I'm very, very excited about this. I obviously, with the multiverse stuff coming up with the Doctor Strange movie and with WandaVision, we'll talk about. There's ways to work this in where we're just going to bring them over without them being origined in as if they're brand new. That appeals to me a lot more, that they pre-exist, that we don't have to go through their origin on screen again for the third time in 15 years. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Not that Fantastic Four's origin is as known to people as Spider-Man. It's not. But they get their powers in space. That's all you need to know. They got their powers in space and they're weird. They're basically the first mutants. That's basically what they are. Maybe that's how they work mutants in somehow. Like maybe there's a way to do that. Like I'm talking about first mutants in the comics. Like they're basically like the first mutation in Marvel Comics. So I'm happy about that. And that's going to be, I think... I don't think they're going to fuck it up. I think they can't. Like, this is everything's in on this. We can't fuck this up a third time. This is going to be it.
Sure. Yeah, there are ones that I will see. There are Marvel movies that I will see, but I am also beyond the point of seeing all of them. And I would say I'm burnt out. Infinity War and Endgame really kind of took a lot of my enthusiasm away from the Marvel universe, because, and I think we all knew it was heading in this direction, but the only real possible, I think we knew it was heading in this direction even as far back as Age of Ultron, the only real end for this sort of big buildup is to get a movie that is a bunch of vignettes that make sense in the grand scheme of the whole story, but do not make very compelling standalone movies.
Okay.
And I just felt exhausted by the time I was done with Endgame and Infinity War. I didn't think they held up very well as movies.
Oh, I thought Infinity War does. Endgame does not. I went back and watched Endgame again. I was like, it's total fan service. And
Infinity War is better, but I think they both fall to... I think all of those payoff movies are doomed to fall to fan service.
Well, but Infinity... But, I mean, there was total fan service. It was an end cap. Endgame. They reference almost everything before with little character. Like Infinity War, when you looked at it, it was like, okay, there's a beginning, middle, and end to this. Even though it's a bad ending, it made more sense to me. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, Endgame is certainly the one I'm criticizing harder. But I think that's kind of my problem with it, is all this buildup, and you get, there's no way to really do that end properly, so I just don't necessarily investing myself.
There was a way to end it, but now we gotta restart a new version of it, and my argument was, we've burnt through the A-listers already.
Right. That is true, too.
And if you're not recasting Captain America and Iron Man, and I don't know how long Mark Ruffalo's staying around for as Hulk, the replacements are not as popular as those. Now, with Spider-Man, he came in a little bit later, 6-7 years in, so they got more life left with him. Then, of course, they could bring in Miles if they want at some point, Miles Morales in the live action. Because they started doing a Spider-Verse live action.
Yeah.
That's Sony, basically, but with Marvel's help, MCU's help. But this might be some lean years for Marvel until they decide to, we got to recast and get these A-listers back in, but we'll get to that in a bit. Okay, so they're doing the Secret Invasion, Samuel Jackson series, where it's basically a tail end of Captain Marvel, where he's hanging out with was it Ben Mendelsohn, who was awesome in Captain Marvel, probably the highlight of Captain Marvel, and so it's going to do that. They're doing an Ironheart. Is that going to be live action, or is that going to be
no idea?
Riri Williams, who's also does her own armor, like Tony Stark, reverse engineers Tony Stark's armor to become the protector of her neighborhood. I guess she's like a little genius. This is the one that one of the ones that appeals to me. An Armor Wars Don Cheadle series. That is very interesting to me. Because Armor Wars is one of the more, I think, substantial Iron Man stories. There's not a lot of substantial Iron Man stories out there in the comics to me. But Armor Wars was one of them. Obviously, Tony Stark's not around anymore, but Don Cheadle's going to fill in the role of everyone's now got the Iron Man technology. What are the ramifications on the world and the supervillains getting it? And he was almost obsessively going nuts trying to stop everyone, because it's like my creation now is getting used again. And so obviously there's themes of that in the movies, but Don Cheadle getting in the series is actually, I think, pretty nice, because he wasn't really used that much at all.
No, before. And I like Don Cheadle. I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah. They announced a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special that they'll shoot the same time they shoot Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which I think is funny that they're doing that. And then what else we got? Then we got the other series. Oh, first off, they basically said we're not recasting Black Panther after Chadwick Boseman's passing. So T'Challa's gone. I mean, it's unfortunate. I don't know how you write around that. It's going to be awkward. Like I said, I'm not sure I'd be interested in seeing it without him in it.
That's going to be tough.
Someone had a theory of, well, what if you pretend Michael B. Jordan's character didn't die? Killmonger, you make him Black Panther. I'm like, that could work, but I don't know. They're going to pass it to the younger sister. Probably not ready as a character for it, because obviously you probably had 3 or 4 more movies with Black Panther. With T'Challa made sense, at least. He's only been in like 3 movies, and only one that he starred in, really. So it's a shame. I don't know what you do there. I guess we'll see it. Then the big things are these series, though. These series, this is what I'm actually going to buy Disney Plus when these series come out. The Loki trailer looks like a really awesome, sort of like a crime series almost, where he's trying to crime around and be sneaky and do stuff, and he jumps out of the plane as D.B. Cooper, it looks like, from the 70s. So, like, if there's something where, like, Loki goes back in time and does all these mysterious stuff that actually happened, that could be an interesting sort of... I don't know where they're going with that, but it looks interesting. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier looks like a cool 80s sort of thing, 80s sort of action vibe, team up.
So, that could be fun.
Yeah, that could be a fun thing. And plus, they have Baron Zemo's back. They're getting him back. They're putting the purple cloak on him. Like, I think the outfit is the whole thing. And I love Baron Zemo as a villain. And he was an awesome actor. Probably the highlight of one of the highlights of Civil War. So, and then the WandaVision is going to be a mindfuck. And that looks really cool. WandaVision.
Should be interesting.
So the good thing is that these series are all radically different from each other.
Right.
And these would never be movies. You'd never see like a WandaVision movie, because people be like, what the fuck is this? I'm not paying to see this, potentially. But it works as a show, obviously. So, did you like those at all? I thought they were really cool.
I think it's the WandaVision will be interesting. I think the What If will be interesting.
Is it too much?
It's too much. That's where I'm going. And that's how I felt all day Thursday, watching the Video Game Awards and having this stuff hit my feet at the same exact time. It's numbing.
It's a lot.
It literally felt numbing to me. My brain stopped feeling excitement or pleasure chemicals, and I'm like, they are just... It seems very cynical, and they're just throwing it all at us, and it's... I want to be excited for the people who are excited for it, but it's just so blatantly milking licenses for money. in cash, especially I think on the Star Wars side of
things. I was going to say, at least you have all these established characters. We can't do movies anyway. We have a new series. People want to see Wanda again. They want to see Vision again.
Right.
They want to see Falcon and Winter Soldier. They want to see Loki.
Yeah. I think those are going to be a bit more interesting than all of the Star Wars stuff.
These Star Wars stuff, holy shit.
That's where it's too. It's like I said. I'm not particularly thrilled with MCU, but I will watch some of those. I know that I've never been a particularly big Star Wars fan, and I'm kind of harsh on it all. But that's what really hurt to watch. It was just like, this is so pointless.
If this was Pat
merchandising is all I could think when watching it.
If this was 15-year-old Pat from '95. Fresh after I just played TIE Fighter CD and seeing these announcements for all these, I would have went nuts. I would be like, this is it. Oh, because there's no new Star Wars stuff. There's so much fucking Star Wars stuff now.
Right.
And these movies.
People were
less than thrilled with these three movies. Rogue One did okay. Solo was all right. When I finally saw it, I'm like, okay, it's all right. No one asked for it, but okay. But this is now, and obviously people like Mandalorian, so I'll check that out at some point. Baby Yoda.
It's like 50-50. I haven't watched the new season.
But when you start announcing this shit where we talk about lore and like making shit up.
That's what I'm saying.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Star Wars, The Acolyte. What? The Bad Batch, about a group of rogue stormtroopers from the Clone Wars. Okay, so if you're into the Clone Wars, I guess you'd be into that. I have zero interest. I didn't ever watch the Clone Wars. So I have zero interest in a spinoff of the Clone Wars cartoon. A droid story? We'll introduce a new droid alongside R2-D2 and C-3PO. Okay. They're doing a Rogue Squadron movie? Was it a movie or film I saw? That, to me, is the only one that kind of is interesting because, obviously, there's a lot of... they did novels. They have the games. I love Wedge. And it'd be interesting to see a fighter pilot group and their missions. Like, that's at least different. We haven't seen that on screen before. We've seen clips of it. So that to me is interesting, and I think that's one I would want to check out. I ain't checking out most of these other ones, though. I'm just not. I mean, I don't have any interest in them.
No.
At all.
I have no interest in those. The Obi-Wan one,
Obi-Wan, I like Ewan McGregor in the role.
So do I, but
they didn't really use him well, obviously, in the movies, but...
Right, you didn't use them well, and I got over that and moved on, and I don't know that we need to go back and try to fix it.
People were going nuts that they announced Hayden Christensen as coming back as Vader, and I'm like, well, he's in a suit, first of all.
Right.
So they got to think of a way to get his helmet off of him and see him, and that's not, I mean, were people loving, people weren't loving Hayden Christensen in it. Or is it Hayden Christensen or Christian Haydenson? I always screw it up. Is it Hayden? It's Hayden. I got it right. I said Christian Haydenson last time. People thought it was funny. I reversed it. So they could maybe try to undo some of the bad memories of the prequels, which would be good because they moved on from it. We're going to fix the wrongs a little bit, try to pave over the potholes. I don't know.
It's a lot.
Like you said, it's a lot.
And as I said earlier, I'm tired of constantly going back and retreading periods that we've already covered. It's fine to go back and do that, but not at the expense of writing new stories. And like I said, that's where it seems very lazy to me. That's why if you had announced the Obi-Wan show after the prequels had come out, you know, and it was done
5 years later or whatever.
5 years later. Yeah. I probably would have had an interest, but now it just seems like an easy way to get a cheap pop from the crowd and make some money.
Ashoka Tano is getting her show. I think she just showed up. The lovely Rosario Dawson playing her on Mandalorian. Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't see if that means she's going to be doing a live action one or that's another Clone Wars spinoff thing technically. And then I saw a few more that just I was just scratching my head at a few other ones. But that Bad Batch one, that to me was like that, like that's insane. There's going to be a Lando show. It's not sure. I don't know who's going to be in it. If it's going to be Donald Glover or someone else doing it. And then this is something interesting. An Alien series coming to FX and Hulu from Fargo creator Noah Hawley. So that...
What series?
Alien.
Hmm.
So that is going to take place on near future Earth. So... The Fargo series are excellent. This fourth series was a little shakier, but they're still written fairly well, and obviously they're directed great. So I thought you might get excited about that a little bit.
Yeah.
I still want to see that real Alien 4, Alien 3 movie, whatever, getting rid of the other Alien 3. I still want to see that. But I don't think we're going to get that, though. But
the real, I don't think we're going to.
That was such a tease that they're ready to go on that. And then Ridley Scott's like, no, I want to do my Prometheus shitty sequels. And it's like, okay, Ridley, we love you, but fucking step aside. Let's get some new blood in here, right? Even James Cameron's stepping aside for some of this stuff and letting people do this thing. Like, let's fucking new blood, Ridley.
I know it's unpopular. I liked Prometheus and 50% of Covenant, but the 50% of Covenant that I liked was not enough to make it a good movie. It's the ending sucks.
We did not need a franchise of Prometheus. We didn't.
Well, again, we do not need prequel franchises. It's fucking dumb. We know where it's going.
Give me Michael Biehn and Sigourney Weaver back.
Give me a fucking history pamphlet. Slap me on the ass and push me into a new movie.
All right, so that's the, we didn't even go over all the Star Wars ones. I think I missed a couple.
That's fine.
But there's so much if you're a Star Wars fan. But at this point, I'm just like I said, what do you say? Once you reach 40, you're like, fuck it, I don't care anymore. When it comes to a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate. All right.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Right, Ian
Patrick,
we have another update. This one came out of nowhere from Watermelon Games, which we brought this topic up like a year and a half ago. Like this was it's been a minute since we talked about this and their Paprium game.
This is weird. So Watermelon Games became somewhat known for releasing Pier Solar, which was a ambitious, nice looking Genesis Mega Drive RPG that they put out, I want to say, in like 2010. Pier Solar, much like Paprium, was delayed, took forever to come out, but it did finally come out. People received it. From all word, it's a pretty good homebrew, you know, RPG. Looks nice, has a great soundtrack.
Sega Genesis style.
Sega Genesis. They also, and I mean, there's digital versions of it on many platforms. There was, I think, Dreamcast versions. They did a number of versions of it. So after the relative success of Pier Solar, they announced a game called Paprium, I think in 2017.
It was a beat-em-up.
Yes, and it was supposed to be the beat-em-up to end all beat-em-ups. I don't remember the specifics, but it was supposed to have multiple playable characters, something like 20-plus levels, I think, insane graphics, save spots, you know, so that, you know, it was supposed to be a beat-em-up with some meat to it, some heft to it, that would, you know, maybe take more than one sitting to play
through. And look better than other Genesis games, maybe?
Yeah, it was supposed to have bigger sprites and look better than other Genesis games.
I did this insane freaking trailer with this, this ripped guy, bronzed up, walking to a Genesis.
So they it got delayed many times. People started to wonder if it was ever going to come out. There was talk about them having to use like a special cartridge to release it.
And they pre-ordered. There was pre-orders. Yeah.
They took a bunch of money. And in 2018, the game's co-creator and lead artist, Lewis Martin, spoke exclusively to Nintendo Life and said that about the lack of transparency, and said that he was Watermelon Boss Gwenaël Fonzie God, and that he was at that point still awaiting payment for his work on the game. After that came out, that's when a lot of people started to be like, well, what's going on? I pre-ordered this, or, you know, is this game coming out?
Then the launch party.
Yes, I'm getting there. And then they had, and I think that's what we talked about. I think that was the last
time
we brought it up.
Okay.
They had a launch party where they were like desperate to show some sort of progress on it. And the launch party was like a flash cartridge with like all sorts of wires coming out of it, hooked into a console. And what people saw was one character moving on a background. I don't think there was any enemies, or if there were, there was no AI programmed.
Look at the video right now from that.
Yeah.
It says long play, and it's a guy with an animation. He's walking around. He's a boxer.
Yeah.
He's in like a factory, like a meat plant.
So that was, you know, their launch party. In that,
he punches a guy.
Did not. That went very, very poorly for them. They got a lot of bad press after that. So I think most people just sort of figured that this was never going to come out. I think people had really just kind of forgotten about it. There had been very few updates. And then suddenly people started getting emails the other day saying that their pre-order was ready to ship. And they just had to confirm that the game was going to the right address.
Confirm their address.
So as of right now, I don't think anyone actually has this in their hands. But I know some people who pre-ordered this who have confirmed that they have gotten that email.
Yeah, me too.
And so this is on its way. What is this actually going to look like compared to what was promised? What are we getting? I don't know. But it's an interesting situation. It's one of those rare stories where something looks like it was done, you know, finished in terms of never going to come out, and all of a sudden here it is. What got cobbled together? I don't know yet. We haven't seen it.
Can anyone do PR right at all? Like we talked about CD Projekt Red, like doing bad PR. This is bad PR. It's coming out. It's like because you've warned people that, hey, it's going to come out. Like, now you just drop it on people who forgot about it potentially. I mean, it's good if it's actually going to be in people's hands. I get what they paid for. But holy shit. Holy shit. No progress updates at all for years. I mean, like, what the hell's happening here?
I mean, I know I come across, like, about as pleasant as vinegar sometimes, but I actually have ideas as to what makes good customer service. I mean, you can hire me as a consultant, hire Pat as a consultant, we sit
Holy
here and
shit.
We talk about it all the time.
Just be honest with people.
Right.
Just be honest. Let people know what's happening. When you have their money, let people know what's happening. Holy shit.
So, what's even stranger is that, Watermelon has just announced another Genesis project. After
this is what bothers me.
This bothers me. This to me feels like taunting. I mean, more than anything. I mean, this is genuinely crazy. So they announced a new title that has a non-pronounceable name. It's like AM96.
AMB96.
And it's going to be another side-scrolling fighter for Sega's for the Genesis. I'm going to guess that they probably dumped some money into finally getting this engine developed and that they're going to try to milk something
out of
it.
They're going to roll it into the next game.
It will cost $169 for the standard version and $229 for the limited version. And they are only doing one single batch. And warning buyers, if you miss it now, you miss it forever.
This is the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen this website that they set up for it.
Yep. And they are encouraging people to buy in bulk. So they're encouraging scalpers and hoarders. Yeah. And if a discount will be applied to... A discount will be applied to orders of more than 7 units, and if you order over $4,999 worth of these, they will build you a free arcade cab for the game.
Yeah, sure they will. So this website is a bunch of giant orange font. What is it? It's a 16-bit game. For which platform? Mega Drive, Genesis. Is it related to Paprium? No. Is it a beat 'em up? Yes. Beat them up. Beat them up? I never heard that before. A sore like? No, S-O-R, not sure.
Streets of Rage.
Oh, Streets of Rage. Is it a two-player game? Yes. Is it going to be fun? Yes. Was this game released before? No. So it's just annoying. Then it gets into, can I buy the game later? No, it's a single batch, but you can try eBay later on. So they're encouraging you to get it up front.
Yes.
Any purchase deadline? Maybe. Is it worth the price? Considering how exclusive it is, we think it's a bargain. So this is what's rubbing me the wrong way. You don't have a fucking game out yet that you took money for years ago. For like 2-3 years, right? 3 years you're taking the money from people. Don't have it out yet. You're already now pushing a new game for people to pre-order it that we don't know where the fuck this game's going to be at. This is just... Fuck this. This is just awful to do this on any level. Ship your fucking game first out. Now, and let people have it and enjoy it. And now tell me about what's next. This is obnoxious.
Yes. And I guarantee you they're being obnoxious on purpose.
When will this game release? Late 2021 or early 2022? Any game title, I guess. Well, AM96, I guess, there's other letters in there that it's going to be, I guess, something in there. I'm just not down with this company. They can go fuck themselves. I mean, I hate to say that about this company. I'm burning a potential bridge, but this is awful. I couldn't think of anything worse than this.
Yeah, no, it's real bad.
The price for this is $229 for the limited one. Then the classic one is $169. $169. No new game comes out like this that's close to that. They're around $50 to $60 usually, maybe 70, right?
Yeah.
They're not. So every, then the arcade thing, is that a joke? I'm going to give you $5,000 for you to mail me a fucking arcade machine or have someone. I hope you're going to have someone make it in the U.S. because shipping that thing from France ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah.
It'll be a grand right there to put it on a cargo ship to get it over. Get it over here. That's nuts.
It's wild.
So I guess we'll talk about this next couple weeks, unless I'm so cynical that this isn't really going to get in people's hands after they said it will.
That's the only thing.
Did their freaking Twitter account even announce this? Watermelon Games. Let me see their Twitter account. I know there's a Twitter account that exists. They do have a Twitter account. Their last tweet, Ian. The last tweet on the official Water. They follow me, so they might follow you. So I'm sorry, Papri. You're doing awful right now. Their last tweet, Ian, was October 25th, 2018. What's been like around their launch party? It's 2 years.
When was it? When?
October 25th.
October. So it was a month before the launch.
2018
party.
Was their last social media tweet on here.
Jesus.
And they have 3,000 followers. It's not like they announced their launch party. That was basically their last thing. And then they did a Facebook post. When was their last Facebook post? Let's see. The last Facebook post was May 28th, 2019, when they said sorry for the lack of news. And they were talking about getting, I guess, parts for something. So they're, I guess, I don't know, parts for the game. So it's been a year and a half since they said a damn thing before these emails went out. That's incredible to me. That's incredible. And maybe the game insane. And maybe the game is great. It doesn't excuse all this.
It absolutely does not. When
you have people's money for 3 years,
yeah.
I mean, come on. So, all right. Anything else to add here? I'm just annoyed by this whole thing at this point.
No, I have nothing else to add to that. It's awful.
All right. Ian, we have a Patreon.
We do.
How do you access that good old Patreon?
Oh, you go to, I almost said twitter.com.
Oh, wow.
You go to patreon.com/CU podcast. And what do you get there? You get the full video podcast. You get a hangout once a month. I'm going to have to do that this weekend.
You got a writing today to me, right?
I'm going to get a writing done. I was busy last week. We'll get a writing in. I've been good about making sure I get it once a week. I will try to have one done by the end of the night.
Okay.
But yes, a writing often once a week. And then we also do these poll topics that you can vote on.
Also, the hangouts we got to get going.
Said I was going to do my hangout this weekend.
Oh, okay. I find that out. Well, text me the time when you want to.
I'll do that this weekend.
All right. Well, then maybe I'll do mine the day before, maybe? Because after that's the day after Christmas next time. Pat wants to relax and convalesce. All right. Our Patreon poll topics this week. In third place, what other retro game deserves the Super Mario 35 treatment? 19%. In 27%. At second place, what do you miss most about gaming conventions? And in first place, at 53%, memories of playing and or, I guess, completing certain games during the holidays. So, Ian, was there any gift games that you remember playing in particular, or just games at all around the holidays?
So, I'm sure if I thought about it, I could think of some gift games, but I actually have an answer to this, and it's fairly recent. There are two games that whenever I think of them, I think specifically of winter and the holidays, especially Christmas, New Year's. And those are, one of them is Final Fantasy XV, and the other one is Yakuza 0. Reason being, those came out when I was sick with my abdominal issues. And that winter was probably... That was when it was real bad. That was like when I was still trying to figure out what the hell was going on. No one knew what was happening. I was having, you know, endoscopies and shit like that, and no one could figure out what was going on. So I was not in a great place, and I was mostly sitting at home just trying to keep myself occupied. So I had heard good things about Final Fantasy XV after, you know, years and years of deciding that the game probably wasn't going to be for me. I went and bought it. And I ended up enjoying it a lot. And, you know, I had nothing else to do. And I remember, you know, sitting there with the heated blanket on and playing through it. And Vani watching me and both of us having a good time. And after that came out, I think that's when I played Yakuza 0. I think that came out in January. And again, it was the right time for me to have that level of distraction. And no other time in probably the past decade, even 15 years, have I been able to put that much time into games of that length and complete as much stuff in them as I did. So those are always games. Lately, those are games that I think about just about every year when December rolls around. And I always think, you know, man, it would be nice to, you know, maybe every year around the holiday time, find a game that's a little bit deeper or longer and get into it and play through it. But, you know, and for good reasons as opposed to bad reasons, but I just haven't been able to find the time. You know, I'm healthier. I'm working. I'm doing more stuff. So my ability to play these story-based games has fallen. But yeah, those are two games that will always remind me of winter.
Of winter, more yeah. So than the holidays around that.
Well, the holidays, you know, because the holidays were around there. But yeah, December specifically, was December and January.
Any game you got for Christmas as a kid that you just played the hell of? I know Home Alone 2 is in there, right?
Home Alone 2 is always a game that I talk about. I mention this story every once in a while, but Pat makes a good point bringing it up. Every time I see it, I think of Christmas, not just because the movie takes place during the holiday season, but because for whatever reason, I decided that it might be an interesting game and convinced my brother to put it on his Christmas list. And he used up one of his present slots for it. And that game was awful, miserable. But my brother and I played the hell out of it anyway.
Was there acrimony for a while after that?
No, surprisingly, my brother was young and he probably got something else that year that he liked and it wasn't a big deal for him. But I remember him not being particularly upset about it, but I remember feeling guilty about that for years and years.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah.
I just sat there.
I still feel kind of guilty
about it. Sat there unplayed and dusty.
Yeah.
All right. I might do an actual video on this in general about all my best games I got for Christmas and things like that. But I'm going to go to a couple of things off the beaten track because obviously, yeah, I got the NES games for Christmas. I talked about that in an NES Punk video about I got Akari Warriors and Spy Hunter separately the same Christmas in 87 when I got Super Mario Brothers in the console set. So obviously I have memories of playing those.
Mm-hmm.
Probably out of all three of those, honestly, the memory is probably of playing Akari Warriors more than the other two for some reason. I'm not sure why. I mean, I like that arcade game a lot better. Those are the reasons I got those because I loved Akari Warriors in the arcade at Spaceport, and I love Spy Hunter, the sit-down version. I played those in the arcade. Those are the two games I played. But I'm going to go into handhelds. Because I always got handhelds for Christmas because, you know why? They were cheap. And I wasn't...
The Tigers.
But even before that, though. So I got the Radio Shack Highway game. Two buttons. You go left, right, in the highway. Radio Shack.
Radio
Shack had a series of those handhelds in the mid-80s. They kept re-releasing them with different shells. I still have the original one. I still have it. I kept it since I was a kid. So that's the one I own right now. They had a tank one. They had a space alien attack one. They were like three or four, maybe five. So I remember playing that. I remember my cousin Chris got the blue tank one, which was cooler because you had to shoot the missiles coming in. I forget. It was a cooler concept than highway. Highway's just like don't hit the log.
Just
in the
dot, road. Yeah, dot, dot, dodge stuff.
So he never let, but Chris of course never let me play the tank one, the blue one. But so I have memories of that because we all got them one Christmas for some reason. All the cousins would go to like my one aunt's, and on my mom's side we'd all, you know, there was like 10 cousins, 12 cousins on that one side. The other side of my family was only one cousin. It's a lot. There's a lot less siblings. So we all would play the handhelds. I guess they were cheap. The Radio Shack was, I don't know what they cost back then, $15 probably.
Maybe.
But then I got the Tiger ones after that for a few years. I owned about four Tiger ones as a kid. The first one I got for Christmas was, it might have been that Christmas, because, yeah, it was probably 87. I got the original football one. Since that first year was right before the license stuff hit, that first year of 87 about. I got the original football one with the D-pad on the right side. I'll never forget that. The D-pad on the right side, just to screw with you. So they put the D-pad for a few on the right side.
I hated Tiger. That, yeah. That was so annoying.
Then they realized we can't do that. We're screwing with people's head. We'll put them on the left side. So I got football and played the hell out of that, especially in cars. Like on car trips, like I probably did my grandma's. My grandparents might have given me that one, actually. So played the hell out of that one as well. But then the following year, though, it must have been 88, because that's when a lot more of the licensed ones came out. I got Double Dragon and I got Ninja Gaiden. I'm pretty sure Ninja Gaiden probably came out in 89 because that's when the game came out.
I had the Double Dragon one.
So I got Double Dragon 88 and I got Ninja Gaiden 89. And I loved those. First of all, I loved the one in the tree because they were in the blister packs.
Yeah.
And so they were packed. I remember seeing it in gold gift wrap. I'll never forget that. At 4:30 in the morning. And
it was just cool to see something like the shape of that.
Sure.
And so I remember getting those and playing the hell out of those around Christmas. The other couple that I remember playing in particular, I got X-Wing CD version on the PC. I got that. X-Wing came out either 92 or 93, whatever. Next year is when the CD one came out with the full audio. And I remember getting that for Christmas. That was one of the best Christmas gifts I ever got. Because talk about being burned out on Star Wars, you were clamoring for Star Wars content in the early 90s, and that was the first major game I remember, besides probably Rebel Assault, but that was the first one that was an actual, like, real experience, because Rebel Assault is just, like, on rails. It's like, who cares? It's kind of cheap. You can't really replay Rebel Assault, but X-Wing was fantastic. That sort of blew the lid open on what you can do with a Star Wars game. That came out before Rebel Assault. What year did Rebel Assault come out? 93?
I think Rebel Assault 2 was 97. I think.
I mean, was it 90? Was that late? But either way, X-Wing was an excellent game that I remember playing around that Christmas time. And that was our second PC we got. We finally upgraded. We upgraded to the 486 after we had our IBM XT that my dad got in like 85. So we went about 7 years between new computers. That's mm-hmm. a long time for to go from an XT to a 486 is like light years. To getting, you know, we got Windows 3.1 on that damn thing. And still had DOS boot to play X-Wing on that. Other than that, only the memory I have around Christmas or the holidays, I will say, not technically a Christmas gift, because my father gave it to me 2 weeks before, is playing a lot of Keith Courage in Alpha Zones and playing a lot of Bloody Wolf, because I won that contest in the Christmas, December of 90, is when I won that contest. And so I got Bloody Wolf, and the still relevant for another 6 months or so only, TurboGrafx 16. I got that. Yeah. What was it, 90 or 89? I always forget that. It might have been 89, because it was probably part of their launch marketing campaign. I remember them talking about Bonk, but if it was 90, they might have given you Bonk, because Bonk came out spring of 90, I believe. So it might have been 89 I got that, because I remember it was still fresh and new. Maybe by 90 would have been old hat by Christmas of 90 already, like a year and a half in. Mm-hmm. But that was the memories of the games I have, because like getting that TurboGrafx 16 was like the biggest surprise ever, that I won that stupid contest and my dad thought I didn't win. So, but then it showed up and they gave it to me early. Maybe that would have been better as a Christmas present though, under the tree. My dad could have faked that, you know, not fake it, but I would have knew I won it. But so that was a special time there. Is that it?
That's it.
Is that all? Did we cover everything there?
We did.
Memories. And this year I'm getting for Christmas my mom makes me cookies, so it's a game of how can I space it out so I don't eat 35 cookies in within like 2 days. So I have to space out a couple cookies a day.
I'm real excited, to be honest with you. I didn't mention this in the intro, but Vani got me a chest freezer for Christmas, and I'm so excited.
A chest freezer. What is that?
Like a big freezer.
I was thinking something you put in your chest.
No, like a chest, like it's like a chest, like you open it so you, I can...
Like an ice box?
Yeah, so I can buy like tons of like, I can, I like to, I, my problem with cooking is I generally buy a lot of fresh, which is good, but because our fridge is small, I don't have a lot of room to like pre-buy meats and stuff like that. So now I'll be able to put like roasts and chicken wings and all sorts of stuff in there. I'll be able to make extra large batches of food and freeze it for rainy days. I'm very, very excited, and it comes today.
Where are you gonna fit that? Is that big?
Next to the kitchen, along that window.
Oh, so it's like this big? It's like a bread box sort of thing?
No, it's a chest. It's big.
It's bigger than like the one in my garage, like one where you put a dead body in.
Like that's a like... trunk, like a traditional
all right,
trunk.
You saw the one in my garage before, right?
I think.
I'll show you. Anyway, it was here when I got it. It might have been a dead body in there. No, I'm kidding. All right, it's time for some voice messages. Thanks so much. We appreciate them. Just guys, do me a favor. Try to keep them shorter, just so we keep things moving. If you leave a voice message, and you can do so at anchor.fm/thecupodcast via the app or on your microphone right there. And so we might trim a couple of these down here, and to keep things moving. So this first one is from Alex.
Hey guys, my name's Alex. I was just wondering what each of you think is the most infamous examples of games that are not particularly good, probably not worth your time, but are ridiculously overpriced on account of their rarity. Thanks a lot.
I mean, the NES is probably the poster child for that out of all the systems.
I was having a conversation with someone the other day. I think the N64 is a pretty damn good candidate, too. When you look at the really expensive games for that system, you've got Stunt Racer, you've got a bowling game, you've got Clay Fighter, which no one actually gives a shit to play. Worms Armageddon is a really good game on that system, but you can get Worms Armageddon any number of other ways that aren't super expensive. So while I agree with you that the NES is definitely up there... some of those expensive games on the NES are good. Power Blade 2 is good. I mean, it's overrated, but Little Samson is good. Gunknack is good. Metal Storm is good. So there are a lot of good expensive games on there.
But there are a ton that are just because they're rare, they're worth a ton of money.
Sure. I'm not denying that. Cheetah
Man 2 is worth thousands of dollars. Action 52 is worth hundreds of dollars. Stadium Events is worth 10 grand. Just the cart.
Sure.
I mean, it's the balance is just so off just because it's hard to find, you know, these games like Sunday Fun Day and Menace Beach. It's brother game or sister game. They go for hundreds of dollars. All those Color Dreams games are worth money. There's no Color Dreams game that's only a $5 game. They're all worth dozens of dollars for the most part.
Dozens.
Well, it's like Captain Comic, but then
dozens
again,
of bucks.
Captain Comic used to be like a $20 game, maybe.
I think we sold it for $15 forever, but yeah. That's probably gone.
But
up.
Most of the fucking Chiller goes for a ton of money, and that's horrible,
awful, miserable.
You know, so like all those ACGI games, Death Rate, like yeah, the NES is bad when it comes to that. You can just pick off any of those ones. All the other consoles, for the most part, the gameplay quality has something to do with the price, a little bit at least, for most of the other consoles for the rare stuff.
I said,
for the most part,
64, no, but like say,
but those games aren't a huge amount of money in comparison to the NES ones.
Sure, but then I mean, look at PC Engine. That is a system where I do think a lot of the higher priced games. There are some that are not great, but a lot of them do correlate to being pretty good games.
Yeah,
too.
Magical Chase would not be $5,000 if it wasn't a good game. Absolutely would not be.
My question to you guys today is. What console or game comes to mind, or plural, that you could just leave in nostalgia land forever? Like, it would actually almost send you through a crisis to even play at this point.
Okay. What's one that would send you just through a wall if you had to play it again, that nostalgia you can leave behind?
Honestly, not to always... talk shit about it, but my most recent experiences with the N64 did not do anything to change my opinion that I just don't need it.
What game in particular?
All of them. I was playing good games on there. I was playing games that I like Pokemon Snap and Snowboard Kids and stuff like that. And they're still good games, but it's just...
You just don't like the console enough for it.
Yeah, I don't like the console enough to ever really need it.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Let me try to find...
You have no answer?
Oh. What games? Oh, okay. I should do that. I'm trying to see which ones I'm skipping here. I would say the ones that nostalgia can be left behind would probably be... It had to be ones I had as a kid that I forced myself to like, and now I can't go back to. Ikari Warriors. I know that's horrible, but like, yeah, you force yourself to like that game as a kid, and you can't stand it anymore. That's one. No, Three Stooges I actually enjoy, kind of in a weird way. But if you asked me that 20 years ago, I would have said, no, I don't ever want to play that game ever again.
Sure.
But I've grown to, like, reappreciate it somehow. I don't really, honestly, I don't have to play, like, a lot of the Zapper games ever again. Like, I mean, Duck Hunt's fine, but that's really like, oh, you play for 30 seconds and you're done. You get the experience and you're like, okay, I shot a duck. And it's cute, I love it, but that's it.
Rampage would be one for me.
Oh, yes. We're going to have to ramp. Yes. You never play Rampage ever again. Ever, 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 ever.
We talked ever, about ever, this ever, a little ever. Bit during the marathon, too, but it's kind of the same way I feel about Wild Gunman or Duck Hunt in that my curiosity is satisfied before I'm even close to running out of lives or being done with the game. I can play one level in Rampage and be like, all right, you know, that's probably enough. I've got this here. Maybe, I can do one or two rounds in Duck Hunt and be like, all right, that's good.
Maybe that's an interesting Q&A topic. It's like, what game are you satisfied with playing for like 30 seconds or a minute?
Yeah.
Maybe that could be a topic. I can think of a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's T-Busta again. You know, all these stupid vanity projects like the Television Amico and that N64 shell with the HD but not really HD conversion kit. you know, all these expensive projects, these massive undertakings for products that nobody asked for. They got me thinking about what niches are there that could be filled, things that people actually do want and need.
Okay, what are ones people actually would want? And of course, the number one thing to me is it would be the zapper you can do on an HDTV. Speaking of Duck Hunt, that's number one.
Yeah, I think that's one. I honestly, I don't know. I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? That's what people sit around and try to...
That's why people are investing millions of dollars into a console that's going to fail when it gets probably delayed again. That's the question. We're trying to think of what market can we get at that all these other companies somehow missed. I mean, the history of video games is filled with mostly consoles that did not do well.
Yes.
Like, probably half of all the consoles that came out, at least, were failed.
All you have to do is think back to the 90s, the 90s console marketplace, where, I mean, granted, they all weren't at the same time, but you think about the CDI, the 3DO, the Jaguar.
32X.
32X. You know, all of these things, that the Apple Pippin.
Sure.
The Neo Geo, I mean, it sold, but the market was just absolutely
flooded.
So many flooded.
Attempted to slice these so many different ways, and there's only so much... that people want or need.
Good question, and there's definitely answers to it, but yeah, it's one that requires a lot more thought, and the reason it's not so easy to answer is, I mean, that's the key to making money, is landing on that concept.
Hey, Pat, Ian, big fan of the podcast. I re-listen to your evisceration of the Atari VCS pretty frequently to kind of lighten my day.
Okay.
Question for the both of you is, seeing kind of the graphical and I guess just the power of consoles probably reaching closer and closer to their ceiling. How viable do you think VR tech will be in the near future?
Is it fairly viable now?
I mean, viable? Yeah. In terms of viability, I think it's viable now, and I think it's only going to get better.
Thanks, Alex.
Whether or not it's going to take on the world by storm, no. And I think I mentioned that last week on this podcast, or I mentioned it during the marathon, I can't recall. But I mean, I play VR, and it's neat. It's fun, but to me, when I play a video game, I want to sit on my fat ass and relax and play. And I think there's always going to be the majority of people who want to look at video games as, I said passive when I talked about last, but that's not exactly right, but a sedentary sort of hobby.
Totally active.
It wasn't VR, but look at the Wii. There was lots of those exercise games, and people bought them up because they thought it was going to be the next big thing, but they're just not used that much. When you have to get up and run around to play a game, it's suddenly, in some way, shape, or form, you're adding exercise into the equation, and it's not always something that someone wants to mix with something else.
Hey, Pat and Ian. So, we know GameStop's on the way out, and it got me thinking, do you think we'll ever see the kind of nostalgia for GameStop that people have for Blockbuster? Will we see people treasuring their PowerUp Reward cards like they do their old Blockbuster cards? And if so, how long do you think it'll take before the kind of nostalgia sets in? Thanks.
Perfect, Jeffrey. Perfect cadence and timing of a question. Thank you. Under 20 seconds.
Very good question.
I think we will. It might take a couple decades once it's totally wiped off the earth. People are like, yeah, I miss going to a game store and trying to search for a game that I want. But browsing for games isn't like browsing for movies, though.
Sure.
You usually know what game or type of game you are after before you get in. With a Blockbuster, a lot of times you have no clue, and that's sort of fun. Let's just look and discover something.
Right.
With games, it's a lot different, because with a game, you're spending a lot more money. You're not spending $3 to rent it, first of all. You can be spending $10, $20, $30, $40. And that experience lasts a lot longer than like 90 minutes, usually, playing a game. So you got to be more careful what you want. But I still think people will be like, yeah, here's my PowerUp Rewards card I had in 2005, because I still have my Blockbuster card. I still have it somewhere.
I think there will be some nostalgia for it as well, but I think it will take a lot longer to get there than it did with something like Blockbuster, for a couple of reasons. One, GameStop is going to need some time between whenever it finally collapses and people being nostalgic for it time needs to smooth away the rough edges.
Yes.
Everything that people hated about GameStop, because there's a lot of things people don't like about GameStop. Blockbuster, sure, it was a corporation. It may have pushed out mom-and-pop stores, but I think most people, you know, there wasn't, like, movie trade-ins. You know, there's no memory of being offered, you know, pennies for the game that you paid $60 for. Mm-hmm. And also, eliminating GameStop does not really eliminate that experience. You can go in and buy a video game off the shelf at a lot of places. You can do it at Target. Sure. You can do it at Best Buy. You can do it at most big physical retailers. When Blockbuster went away, that was taking with it a very specific experience that, for the most part, does not exist anymore. Yeah. The ability to walk into a movie rental place with your friends, your significant other, your parents, and go in kind of open-minded and have that fun experience. Like, we've got to settle on a movie. We've got to pick something because that's what we're doing tonight. And as you said, cost of the transaction definitely goes into it. You're far more willing to, wing $6 on a random movie than you are on a $60 game. I don't think that they're necessarily comparable experiences. That said, people get nostalgic for literally everything.
Anything
that has gone for 5 years or more, people will be nostalgic about. It's crazy. So yes, I do think inevitably there will be some nostalgia for GameStop at some point.
All right, next one.
Hey, Pat and Ian, this is Goblin Blood. Thank you for answering my question last week. I don't really have a question this week. I just wanted to add a comment. Thank you guys for all you do. Your podcast has been helping me out with a lot of mental health issues I've been having lately, and it's been an extremely good comfort for me. This was a really hard time of year, and I really appreciate what you guys do, and just keep up the good work. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, Goblin Blood. And I know this has been a weird year. It's been hard mentally on a lot of people this year. It's because some people are in isolation, some people are around people more, they don't want to be around, so it's a totally different experience for a lot of people this year. For a lot of people. So, like, they had to adjust, and some people, it's hard to do that adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, this year's been tough, and, good on you for being able to persevere and, keep on moving. And, just remember that there's always people out there to reach out to if you need to talk to someone about the mental health issues. Depression's a real thing, and it can be extremely crippling. So, keep your head up, and thank you for listening.
All right, next is Brandon. Got a couple more here.
Hey, Pat and Ian. I have a question regarding Xbox 360 and Xbox 360 games to collect. I think a lot of people agree right now that Xbox 360 is at one of the lowest points it can as far as games value. So my question being, what are some of the types of games that you recommend people trying to search out and find that would be pennies on the dollars compared to what they could be in the future?
What do you think, Ian, for the Xbox 360? It's an investment question.
Is it too early? It's not. It's a little too early. That's what I had said earlier. I think it might be too early to discuss this, but I think there are some general rules of thumb you can always follow when buying games for an old system. Pick up the RPGs. There were some shooters released on the 360 stateside, like Raiden 4 and Death Smiles. Those are titles that are always going to potentially go up in price. And pick up any like niche titles. Pick up any horror games that you can find on the 360. I'd recommend getting the original release copy of Deadly Premonition. I always think is probably going to be worth something at some point. The spookier the horror games, any sort of shooter that gets a physical release, and certainly any RPGs have always shown on older systems or systems that have a library that ends up being collectible at some point in the future. Those are always the games that initially go for more money.
Two more.
Hi, Pat and Ian. This is Doug from the United Kingdom. This question is for Pat. I need some diet tips. I've heard of something where you restrict your food intake for a number of hours during the day. Can't quite remember what it's called. I'm sure Pat's an expert on this. Anyway, love the podcast. See ya. Bye.
Doug, are you being a little cheeky? You're being a little cheeky with Pat? That's a British term right now. I think you're referring to intermittent fasting right there. And then the last one, last question right now.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Ian. This is Trabian from Michigan. I've been listening to the podcast now since I was in middle school, and I am now 19 and graduated high school this year.
Jesus.
So I've been listening to the podcast for a long time, and I was wondering if you guys ever thought that you might be passing on your knowledge of retro video games and the other topics that you guys talk about on the podcast to a younger generation.
Thanks, thanks, Trabian. I'll let it slide right there. We'll go from there. Wow, so you started listening when you were like 12? Holy crap, I'm old. I mean, obviously you're passing knowledge along to a younger generation, potentially. I always looked at me doing the NES Punk videos and doing Video Game Years and whatever else, doing the podcast and content, to focusing on people that already know this stuff, that want to learn about it. But of course, there's always going to be a younger generation that discovers it. I mean, I go to all these gaming conventions, and you see younger kids that are like, even their 20s is younger. They didn't grow up with the NES in their 20s, and they're buying it. They're buying some of this stuff, and they're exploring, they're experimenting a little bit and going backwards in time. And then obviously, you know, you learn about this. I mean, especially for Nintendo, so Nintendo's always pushing out the old stuff, or at least referencing it. So, oh, I want to learn about the game before this came out that I'm familiar with. So, passing on knowledge makes it sound like we're like soothsayers or we're like sages. But no, I guess it's an interesting part of it. I don't usually focus on when I'm, you know, doing all this stuff. But yeah, I guess it's cool.
I mean, similar to Pat, I know that there are younger people and generations that are interested in this stuff. I guess I don't really think too much about who I'm speaking to when I do this podcast. But I guess I would have always assumed it to kind of be a preaching to the choir, speaking to people our own age sort of thing. I kind of figured that our podcast, while we're not journalists, but we pass on news to people who know that they want to hear that news and are probably already in the know, but maybe don't catch up on all of this stuff, or they want to hear our opinions on it. So I definitely think it's cool that there are younger people listening to us, and if they're picking anything up from it, that's awesome. But yeah, no, I never really did stop to think about that much.
Yeah, I mean, I see that you can see the demos on YouTube for sure. It's a little bit tougher to get the demos. But they are available somehow on for podcasts. But yeah, it's always like whatever the 30 or the 34 to whatever 49. That's our demo. Sure. You know, the demo is our age basically, because we're talking about games that we played. You know, whatever ex-millennial, old millennial. You know, that's our generation. So that's. But yeah, it's nice to hear that you passed through middle school and high school and now in college, and you're all growing up with us. Now, Trey. And so thanks for that. Thanks for everyone for the voicemails. We'll try to do these. We got a lot of backlog. I think people are getting into this more. And maybe we'll do one next before Christmas. We'll get our hats on. We'll have fun next time.
All right. That is that.
That's it for the CU podcast.
This episode.
This was a fun ditty. This was a fun ditty. Remember, I'm talking. This is getting your orders at ultimatenintendo.com. Get them in today, the 15th, if you can. Maybe Wednesday morning, but if you want that book, they're, you know, the warehouse is shipping out lots of stuff from lots of people that are warehousing. They're going to be a few days behind getting them out the door, so make sure you do that. Don't blame Pat for delivering. It's not my fault. I might do a video, Christmas video. We'll see. I got 10 days, which isn't bad. I've done them before. This is going to be a simpler one. So I might do one. I can write it and get it done. I'm not going back home, so I have to rush it up and hop on literally a plane 2 hours after the video's done. That's not happening this year. That was nuts that I did that. And that video turned out with no glitches or flaws, too. That was the Christmas miracle, Ian. It came out before Christmas.
Yeah, I know.
It came out Christmas Eve. That's only happened.
That is extremely rare.
That happened once or twice. A couple times it came out in Christmas, but it's been extremely rare where Christmas video I did has come out before Christmas. You know, I had my Super Bowl video come out halftime of Super Bowl. The one you would remember that with Tecmo Bowl? I literally uploaded, and that's when the Giants beat the Patriots the second time. That was that Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
2011 or 12, whatever it was. But and Frank was over and watching. I'm rambling, though. So get your Christmas shopping done. Whatever holiday gifts, whatever you're celebrating, get that shopping done. And hopefully this is like the reset point at Christmas. I'm hoping like this will actually be like when the new year comes, it's bullshit. Oh, it's a new year, fresh start. This potentially actually could be more relevant than most years. Like, it's a potential turn the page from this year, knock on wood. So we're almost there. We got 2 weeks left. Be safe out there, especially around Christmas. I'm talking like we're doing our last show before Christmas or not. So I'm going to stop rambling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.